It's still the date, the toy away, rubbish, more like Steinhardt.
Good morning, Rabbi Yisai, Parshas Ba'al Oischo. A sedra full of fascinating parshas. We'll obviously only touch on some of them. Rashi brings at the beginning of the sedra, right at the beginning, the very first Rashi brings a chazal that we had at the end of Nosoi, the parsha of the Nesiim, where the Nesiim, each Nasi for each Shevet brought a korban. And then now we have the parsha of the Menorah, says Rashi, what's the juxtaposition? Why are these two parshas next to each other? So the Chazal tell us that Aaron HaKohen saw that every single Nasi brought a korban, and Shevet Levi wasn't included. Chol Shoz Dato, he was upset. So the Rebbein Shalom said to him, don't worry, Shalcho G'doylo Mishalohem, your avodah is greater than theirs, Sha'ato Madlik Umeitiv Esaneiros, because you light and you clean the neiros. So the Medrash says, it comes from the Medrash, the Loshon HaMedrash is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, to tell Aaron, Al tesiore, don't be afraid, L'gdoylo mizu ato masukon, you're prepared for something greater than this, as we said, the neiros. And then there's another point which is mentioned in the Medrash. Would they all bring korbanos? HaKorbanos calls man shebeis hamikdash kayom heim noyagim. The big korbanos continue only as long as the beis hamikdash stands. HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously knew already that the beis hamikdash wasn't going to last forever, and he said the neiros la'olam el mul panei hamenorah yo'iru. The neiros light forever. So first the Ramban asks, why is the menorah? Why is that a consolation? Why is that greater than all the korbanos? He goes through a whole list. This is the ketores, the korbanos, minchas chavitin, avodas yom kippur, that only the Kohen Gadol can do. He goes in lifnei v'lifnim, the whole shevet of Moshe Hashem, and he said even the Aaron HaKohen himself in the Yemei HaMiluim, he brought korbanos for 7 days, 8 days. Why is that not greater than the korbanos of the Nesiim? So the Ramban says that the Rebbein Shalom wasn't referring to the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. He's referring to the Nes Chanukah, that there's going to be a time when the Beis HaMikdash is not standing, which explains why the Ramban says that, what do you mean the Neiros La'olam Kayamim? The Neiros are not forever. When there's no Beis HaMikdash, there's no Neiros. Says the Ramban, we don't mean those menorahs. We don't mean the Neiris of the Beis HaMikdash, we mean the Neiris of Chanukah, the Neis Chanukah, which stays L'Doiris even nowadays when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we still have the Neiris of the Neis Chanukah, and that's something which lasts, which stands by Klal Yisrael in all generations. He brings the Medrash, but that's the tamsis of what the Ramban says. The Sefer Be'er Yosef suggests, sorry, I can't hear. Oh, because, oh, very good, thank you for pointing that out. So the Ramban explains that the Nes of Chanukah was brought about by the Bnei Hashminoi, and they were the descendants of Aaron HaKohen. So this, they were instrumental in bringing about this light, which stays L'Doiros, in that way it's much greater than the Korbanos, which Korbanos is limited to the time of the Beis HaMikdash. But this is not just a Neiros in the Beis HaMikdash, it's a Neiros L'Doiros and Nes Chanukah, which remains for all generations.
According to that chart, what did you Moshe Rabbeinu understand?
Sorry, I don't understand the question.
Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand
how to make the menorah.
Yeah,
that's something else.
But if it goes according to the menorah, we light Chanukah. What was there not to understand?
No. Two things. You're talking about the making of the menorah when they made the Mishkan. That he had difficulty in understanding. Here we're talking about the lighting of the menorah. Yeah. So the Be'er Yosef, he says a different difference between the Korbanos and the Neiros. The Gemara says in Tanis, on the Pasuk, Bamo Eida ki Yiroshenu. Avraham Avinu said to the Rebbeinu Shelolam by Bris Ben Abasorim, Bamo Eida. So Chazal tell us that Avraham Avinu was asking the Eibishter, Bamo Eida, how am I going to know that Klal Yisrael are going to be safe? It's inevitable that Klal Yisrael will do Averis. What's going to protect them? What's going to keep them going? So the Rebbeinu Shelolam said, "Kecholi eglo mushuleshes." The different animals there. That's a reference to the korbanos. That the Klal Yisrael will bring korbanos, And that will protect them, that will be a kapora, and that will protect them from any oinish for having done aviris. And then Avraham Avinu said, what's going to be when there's no Beis HaMikdash? So the Rebbeinu Shlom said, there's still something which somewhat replaces it, that we should read about the parashas of Korbanos, and that's why we say Korbanos in Davening, and why we have Kriyas HaTorah and Rosh Chodesh and Yom Tovim about the Korbanos. It's for that, because of that Gemara, that we want to have some connection to the Korbanos. But the Korbanos themselves are only brought during the time of Beis HaMikdash. Once there's no Beis HaMikdash, nowadays, we don't have a Korbanos. What is the menorah? We know that the menorah is light, and that represents the light of Torah, the light of Chochmah. And we find in the Gemara, in a few places, the Gemara says, "Haroitze sheyachim yadrin." Somebody who wants to become wise in Torah, he should face Dorim. That means instead of facing exactly towards Mizrach, he should lean, turn a little bit when he davens towards Dorim, and with that, he can get Chochmah. How does that work? Because the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash was on the Dorim, was on the south. So therefore, we have a connection. If we faced a bit towards Dorim, we're connecting with the menorah, and with that we get Torah, we get the Oir HaTorah. Similarly, we find the Gemara says in Brochus, Haroi Hashem and Zayis Bachaloi, someone sees olive oil in a dream, he can expect to receive an increase in Torah, in the light of Torah. So the Beis Yosef explains that when the Kohanim, the Kohen Gadol, doesn't have to be the Kohen Gadol, but Aaron HaKohen and his descendants, when they light the menorah, they're bringing down a hashpa of light, of Torah, to the world. And all Yidden benefit from that. It says that by Yosef, here lies a fundamental difference between the Korbanos and the menorah. The Korbanos, what they achieved was only at the time that they brought the Korbanos. Whereas the Oir HaMenorah, the Torah, all the Torah that came down to the world at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, at the time of the Mishkan, that's still with us today. All the Tanoim and Amiroim we learned from their Rebbes, and all the Torah that we have, we haven't lost it. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling, the Baruch Shalom was telling Moshe Rabbeinu to tell Aaron, Shelcha G'doylam Shalohem, this remains forever. The Korbanos are only effective at the time that they're being brought. Later on, they don't have that effect. Whereas the Torah and the Chochmah, which was brought down by means of the Menorah, that remained forever, and that we're still benefiting from, and that's something which Aaron HaKohen can be pleased with and can be appeased with for not having brought Korbanos. Two Pesukim later, the Pasuk tells us that Vayas Kein Aaron. Aaron did as he was told. He lit the menorah. He lit the neiros. And Rashi says, famous Rashi, Lahagid Shvochei Shel Aaron. Shaloishino Aaron was being praised that he didn't deviate. He did exactly as he was told. So the question is obvious. We're talking about Aaron HaKohen, Kadosh Hashem, the Kohen Gadol. He was a Novi until Moshe Rabbeinu was told to supersede him. So What's the chiddush? Aaron HaKohen didn't deviate. Even we try our best not to deviate from what the Torah tells us. Aaron HaKohen. What does the Chazal mean to tell us with this? So there's a few pshatim which I've seen. We find Yirmiyahu HaNovi. He says a pasuk, Lo yoshavti b'soid m'sachakim. I didn't sit with Letzonim. I didn't sit around partying around. Excuse me, would you expect to see Reb Chaim Kanievsky sitting partying around? Does it come into question? He has to say, you know, I don't go to the pub. What was this supposed to mean? What's he trying to say? So, it's true that Yemei Anovi had no Yetzer Hara to do such a thing. But he's also a human being. And he elevated himself to such a level where he had no inclination, he had no pull to do things which are not appropriate, which are less than ruchnius. Fine. But he was the one who worked on himself to elevate himself. It wouldn't be fair that somebody who's already elevated himself shouldn't get any more reward for being on the madriga that he's on. If two people, one person's never worked on himself and therefore it's a struggle for him, the other person, the only reason it's not such a struggle for him is because he's worked on himself, there's no reason he shouldn't get half of that. So the Torah is teaching us, it's true, Aaron HaKohen, Yemei HaNovi, of course, on the level that they were, it wasn't a nisoyim for them. But if they elevated themselves, and if we elevate ourselves to a level where any particular nisoyin isn't difficult for us, it's unreasonable that we should lose out from it. So of course, the Torah is teaching us, don't underappreciate what you're doing. Even if things, yeah, of course I go to shul 3 times a day. Okay, Baruch Hashem, you've got yourself into the habit, and you daven. So everything you do, you deserve recognition, you should appreciate yourself, what you're doing. The Haggad Shvach Shalei Shino, even on a great person, is still something worthy of mention and worthy of recognition.
So
he also appreciated this point that he's brought. Yeah, very good. Shkoyach. Yeah. Okay. Then another pshat, which is perhaps a very famous pshat, is that this is often quoted to bar mitzvah boys, but really needs to be quoted to ourselves more than bar mitzvah boys, that when somebody starts a mitzvah, does a mitzvah for the first time, it's with excitement, with freshness, eagerness. You always say bar mitzvah is filling after a few weeks, it's not so ayayay anymore. And that's the work of a lifetime, is to have a freshness in everything we do. That when we do a mitzvah the 100th time, it should be similar to the way we did it the first time. And the 200th time and the 1,000th time, that it should be with the same excitement. And that's what Gevaldig HaAvodah, which Aaron HaKohen managed to achieve, Shaloi Shino. He didn't change his 20th time of lighting the menorah was the same as the first, and so was the 120th, and everything was always, he managed to muster up the same enthusiasm and geschmack in it, and that's something which taka is something which we can try and aspire to, and that's what Aaron HaKohen was doing. And finally, Mariel Diskin, he says that there was a step in front of the menorah. What was the step for? Why did there need to be a step? For the Kohen Gadol to stand on when he lit the menorah. Why did he need to stand on it? The menorah wasn't that high. He could have reached it. But Chazal tell us that when the Kohen Gadol is lighting the menorah, he's not allowed to lift his hand higher than the tzitz. The tzitz had the shame on his forehead. He wasn't allowed to lift his hands higher than that. So in order not to raise his hand above the tzitz, he has to stand up higher, so he shouldn't need to do so. But he says, there's a medrash which says that Aaron HaKohen was particularly tall. He was 10 amas tall, I think, according to Gemara Shabbos. He was very tall. He didn't need this step at all. So he could have reasoned to himself, okay, I don't need it, I'm not going to use it. No, lo yishino. So if the Torah says, the Rebbeinu Shlomo says, use the step, I'm using the step. I personally don't need it, doesn't matter. Do what I'm told. And that's something, again, something we can learn from, that don't start reasoning, maybe this doesn't apply to me. If this is what you're supposed to do, then this is what Aaron HaKohen did. Lahagid Shvacho Yishalei Shino. He didn't change from what he's supposed to do. We have the parasha of Pesach Sheni. Parasha Pesach Sheni. First, you have the parasha Korban Pesach, where this is actually the only time that Klal Yisrael brought the Korban Pesach in the years in the Midbar. And then it says, "Vahi anoshim," in capital Tes, Pasuk Vav, "Vahi anoshim asher hoyu tumeim lenefesh adam." There were people who were impure, they had been in contact with a dead person, therefore they weren't able to bring the Korban Pesach. So they came to Moshe Rabbeinu, to Aaron, together, and they said, "You know, we can't bring the Korban Pesach, but we also want to do it. What can we do?" So Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Wait, I'll find out, I'll ask the Eivishter." And Rashi tells us as follows: Uruya hoisa parsha zu lehe'ome. This pasuk should have been said, given over. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu should have given it. Kishakol haTorah kula. It shouldn't have been necessary for the Tmeim to initiate this halacha. Moshe Rabbeinu should have said, "This is the din of Korban Pesach, and if you didn't bring Korban Pesach for whatever reason, you couldn't bring it, then it's a din of Pesach Sheni." So why did this happen? Elo shezochu elu sheteome alidei, and these people were zoicha. They had the privilege that the parsha was said through them. Through their request, the parsha was given. Shemegalgalin zchus al yedei zakai. It's a zchus to bring a parsha in the Torah because they wanted to do the mitzvah. They were honored. They had the zchus to bring this parsha. Rashi doesn't really answer why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu ask the Bein Shalom in the first place? Why did he wait until these people came along and requested a Korban Pesach for themselves? Only then he asked. Why did he wait? So I once heard. Moshe Rabbeinu knew Kol Torah Kulo.
So
he should have known about it. So it makes. Well, apparently he didn't, because he said Imdu Ve'Ashmo. See, yeah, it's a good question. You're asking, he should have known it anyway. So, Hogufa, so he didn't know it, so why didn't he know it? Apparently he didn't know it, right? Yeah, apparently he didn't know it. So why Tucker didn't he know? Why did it wait until this request came from the Tmeim? Only then the parsha was given. So I once heard from a Talmud Chochem, my uncle Moshe Weiss, told me the following beautiful pshat. The Targum Yonason, if you ever get the chance to look in Targum Yonason, it sometimes has quite lengthy discussions on a pasuk. You can have a pasuk which is a few words long and it will have 10 lines on it. The whole discussion, the whole medrash is very fascinating. So let me read out the words to your translators as I go along. Deinu chad me'abor dinin, this is one of four cases, the Olu Kodom Moshe Nevi'o, which came in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Don Yosoin Am Imro de Kudsho, and he judged them by what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to do. Biktsas Minhoin, some of them have a Moshe Mosin. He was slow, thought through, Min Biglada have a Din in Ashoso, because they were Din in the Foshis. We'll discuss what they are in a moment. Biktsasoin have a Moshe Zoyis, but some of them Moshe Rabbeinu was quick, Min Biglada have a Din in Mamoino. Because they were dinim ominous. Be'ilin of the ilin by both of them, Mama Moshe Loi Shamis. I don't know. I haven't heard the halacha. Why did he say that? It's interesting, by the way, what he says here. Min miglal lemil for the Rosh Sanhedrin also, the asidin lemekom in Basri. To teach the Rosh Sanhedrin, all the Rabbonim and Dayonim who follow in future generations, dihoin mesunim medinim afshoso, uzrizim medinim amoin. Now, when it comes to dinim afshoso, is to capital punishment and things like that. To be slow and deliberate, think things through. When it comes to momentous, work things through as quickly as possible. And this one is very fascinating. Don't be embarrassed to ask if you don't know. It's a lesson for all doyers, even great rabbonim, talmidei chachamim. Don't be afraid to say, I don't know, and I'll find out. There's nothing wrong to say you don't know and ask. So I'll just skip a few words. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Erichu wait ad the eshma ma the ispekid in the kodesh Hashem delechoin." So wait. So here he said, "Imdu the eshma or wait." So what are the four cases? There are four cases in the Torah, four parshas in the Pesukim, that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have an answer immediately. The first one in the order of the Torah was Parshas Emor. We have the Megadif, somebody who spoke against the Rebbeinu Shleilom. He said terrible words. The pasuk says there, "Vayanichu b'mishmor." They put him in prison, to see what the Rebbeinu Shalom says, what we should do with this person. The second one is here, the Pesach Sheni. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what to do. He said, wait, I'll find out. Parshas Shlach, we have the Mekoshe, she's Mechal Shabbos. And the Pesach says there again, they put him into prison, they hadn't been detailed what to do. The Rebbeinu Shalom hadn't said what to do to Mechal Shabbos. So, hold on. And Mapashas Pinchas, we have the Bnei Tzlochkov. The Bnei Tzlochkov, they claim that we've got no, our father had no sons. We want to get the inheritance in Eretz Yisrael. Again, Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Wait, and I'll find out for you." We see a difference between two of them and the other two. By the Megadif and the Mekoshesh, which were dinim nefoshos, we're talking about Achi of Misa. There it says, "Vayanichu b'mishmor." They put him into prison. Lifresh lehem api Hashem. Hashem should say what to do. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say he's going to ask. He just said they put him into prison and let's wait. Similarly, in Parshas Shlach, almost the same words. "Vayanichu oisay b'mishmor." Ki lo yifirash ma yosale. It wasn't. He hadn't been told what to do. They put him into prison and wait. There's no mention of asking anything. The other two, Pesach Sheni, says, "Imdu ve'eshmo." stand, wait, and I'm going to hear. In other words, I'm going to find out. Also in the Menorah Tzlochot, Vayakriv Moshe es Mishpoton. Moshe brought their din to the Ribono Shel Olam. In other words, I'm going to find out. So the first two is easy to understand. That's Dinei Nefoshos, says the Targum. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu was muscling. He was slow. In other words, he didn't initiate any question. He just said, put them in prison and we'll see what happens. And when the Ribono Shel Olam decides that he has to punish them, okay, we have to punish them. But he wasn't in a hurry to carry it out and to find out what the punishment shall be. The other two are Dinei Momonos, explained in the second soon. The other two, Moshe Rabbeinu initiated the question. They asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what do we do? Okay. The Bnei Slavchot, they wanted a portion in Eretz Yisrael. So we can understand that is Dinei Momonos. It's something they wanted, something. They wanted a portion in Eretz Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm going to find out. But here Pesach Sheni, where's Pesach Sheni? Why is that Dinei Momonos? Where's the money? There's no monetary matters involved here. Why does the Targum Yonasan call this Dinei Momonos? So the answer is, and this is beautiful, what happened here? The words were, they said like this, Anachnu Tomeim Renefesh Odom. We are Tomei, we've been in contact with a mace. Lo Moni Gora, why should we be left out? Levilti Hakriv Es Korban Hashem, not to be able to bring the Korban. They came along and just said, not with Tommy, and we couldn't do it. They said, why should we be left out? They came with a taina. They came with a, we're missing something. We're losing out. That's like Dinei Momonos. I've got a claim. There's something being deprived of. We're being deprived of the mitzvah. There's something that we're missing. So that's Dinei Momonos. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, if it's Dinei Momonos, it's something that's so important to you, and so you feel that you're lacking something, you're being deprived of something important, I'm going to ask the Ribono Shel Olam. And that, coming back to the original question, why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu ask? Before they requested anything, it was just a halacha. The halacha is that if you tell me, you can't bring it. End of story. There's nothing more. There's no second chance. If a person is ill and he misses my Kriyas Shema, sure, he's annoying. It's finished. Next, you can't say, well, I'll still do it. Before Chatzos. Once you've missed it, you missed it. So, Kom Pesach, if you tell me, you can't bring it. So there was no reason for Moshe Rabbeinu to even ask. But now they saw that as they were missing something. They were deprived of an opportunity. That changed it into Dinei Momonos type of din. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, well, in that case, I'm going to ask the Ribono Shel Olam. And the Ribono Shel Olam Taka responded by creating the new mitzvah, Shemegalgalin Zchus Ali Dei Zakai. The pasuk, and this is two pasukim later on in the parasha, at the end of Kapitel Yud, which we say a few times a week. These are the pasukim of Vayhi ben Seah Ha'orein Vayim and Moshe. When we take out the Sefer Torah, we say the pasuk Vayhi ben Seah. And when we put the Sefer Torah back, we say Uvenucha Yema, those two pasukim. And as we know, looking at the Sefer Torah, before and after those pasukim, there's a nun, a backwards nun. A backwards nun before it, and a backwards nun after it. And Rashi comments on this. What's it there for? So Rashi says, Rashi calls them simonios, because this is not really the logical place for these psukim. These psukim don't really belong here, but they're here lahafsik bein poronos leporonos, between one punishment, one sad event, and another one. We don't, because afterwards we have the parsha of misoinanim, then we have the hasasah hashem bekirbo isavatavo. So we've got one before as well. We want to make a break, not to have three, as the Ramban says, not to have three poronios in a row, because that makes like a chazoka. We want to break it up. The problem is that we don't see any poronos in the psukim before. Yeah, in psukim after we do, they were misoinin, they were complaining, and the safsuf, and the whole parsha with the slav. There we see a poronos. But where do we see a poronos? In the psukim preceding by Ibn Soya. So the Ramban brings from Chazal that the pasuk says in Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Vayisu Mehar Hashem, they traveled from Har Hashem. And Chazal tell us that they had been by Har Sinai, they'd been next to Har Sinai for almost a year. And now they ran away. Ketinuk Habireach Mibes HaSefer. They were eager to go. Finally, no more mitzvahs, that's enough, let's go. Obviously, we have to appreciate this is on a very, very dakistiga level, something which it wasn't discernible. But the Vi de Madriga, this was something they had a slight eagerness to go away, and it was considered a Puronus, the very fact that they had this attitude towards the Torah, that itself is a Puronus. As it is of the Ramban. As the Kliyokov says, what's it got to do with the Nun? What's it got to do with the Nun? Why can't it be a backwards pay? I don't know, Shin, not maybe. Why Dafka a Nun? So he says, the nice Remez, the word Nun, Nuno, in Aramaic, means a fish. The Parsha afterwards says, Zocharnu es Hadogo, we remember the fish that we had in Mitzrayim. We want to have fish, we want to have pleasures, we want to have enjoyment. So that's the second Nun, which is Miram, is that they're looking for enjoyment, physical pleasures. So that's something which is referred to by the Nun. What's the first Nun? The Gemara tells us, famous story, where Rabbi Akiva was in prison. Well, before he went to prison. Because the Romans decreed that you may not teach Torah Barabim on pain of death. And Rabbi Akiva continued to teach Torah Barabim, totally ignoring the Gzeira. And Pappus ben Yehuda said to him, how could you do this? Do you not realize that you're putting yourself in danger, putting Talmidim in danger? How can you do this? So Rabbi Akiva says, as a moshul, to explain that, to answer your question, there once the fish in the sea, they were swimming back and forth, and the fox came along and said to them, where are you swimming? Why are you looking so agitated and so anxious? So they said, well, the fishermen are trying to catch us, and we're trying to escape the nets. So the fox, being the sly creature that he is, he said, I'll tell you what, we've got history, our ancestors were good friends with each other. You come out, come to me, come to my lair, and we'll live together in peace, you'll be safe from the fishermen. So the fish turned back to the fox and said, you fool, you're the Piker Shabachayos, you're a fool. If we're in danger here in the water, which is Mokim Chiyusenu, that's the place where we have life, then for sure we're going to be in danger. If we come out to dry land where there's no water, then certainly we're going to die. So Rabbi Akiva said to Pappus ben Yehuda, so the Torah is the water, is the life for Klal Yisrael. If we're in danger when we do have the Torah, for sure we'll be in danger if we leave the Torah. And therefore, we have to stay with the Torah, come what may. So the fish with water is a moshul for Klal Yisrael with the Torah. Naturally, a fish is always heading towards the water because he appreciates that that's his source of life. That's what keeps him alive. But Klal Yisrael here, they took the Nun and they turned their back towards Vayib and Seah, towards the Orin, towards the Torah. They turned away from the Torah. The fish facing away from the Torah, they're going away. And what they're facing towards? The last two words before that, Min HaMachne. The camp, that represents Olam Hazeh. People are pursuing earthly pleasures, not interested in Ruchnius, just interested in Gashmius, just trying to elevate their worldly status. And that was the Taina. And that's what the Merumas with the Nun. And we should be fish, not facing away from the Torah, but facing towards the Torah. And we should be Zoicha to have Chaim, Gewaldige Shabbos, for ganz Klal Yisrael.
Well, how could you say to run away? They say